Hello and welcome to the big show. I am your interim host, Jeff Gamet. I am sitting in for Ewan Rankin. He will be back with us, just not for a while because he's very busy. Ewan, we do miss you. And we're looking forward to when you can come back. Nonetheless, we will do our best to continue to make these shows stand up to the level of quality that Ewan expects from us. So basically, I guess we could show up drunk and talk about whatever we want and probably have a more entertaining show. Anyhow, we have an awesome panel here today. As always, Patrice, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm like, it's really nice outside. I'm like working a lot for sure. But yeah, the week is almost over. It's really cool. And my vacation is coming up soon. So it's only another 20 days.
Okay. So the shocking thing to me is that you have to work 20 days now before you get some time off. You're not in the United States. So it just feels like you get time off all the time. So a 20-day stretch where you have to work just seems kind of crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. I seem to be not very European because like I always have a hard time taking time off, like in general. Like it always happens that it's either like September is actually really early for me. Usually it's November and I'm like, oh shit, like I have, I don't know how many days I get, 25 or something. And I'm like, okay, what do I do with them? And I still have days from last year. So yeah, I'm like the American way worked pretty well for me. Like not too much, like the 10 days or whatever I got, I could take easily.
Yeah. Well, keep at it. I bet with enough hard work, you'll be able to figure out how to make all those extra days off happen.
Yeah, exactly. No, I have planned like a good 3 weeks. So
awesome. Rich, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you, Jeff. I've got a bit of a cough coming on, I think, but apart from that, I'm fine.
Are you also under the weather now?
Well, do you know what, the elevation that I'm at in West Yorkshire, I'm kind of in the weather.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's a transitional area. Yeah.
That's sort of where I am. There are clouds outside the window. It's one of those.
Yeah. Yes. So Muller and Ewan are under the weather, you're in the weather, and Ian is above the weather.
So I'm above, I'm here and it's fine. And the weather's, it's going a bit grey and cloudy, but otherwise it's completely fine. There's been sun and everything.
Multiple levels of weather in the UK.
Yeah,
it's definite
ecosystem.
It's back to school weather outside. That's what it is. You go outside, you can smell the air, something about the light, and it just feels like, oh, it's time to go back to school. Summer's over.
Yeah, it's well, now that it's September, yeah, we should start seeing that light change here too. I say should because the light is still obscured by smoke. Not every day, though, but many days. Yeah. Ian, I haven't asked how you're doing yet.
I'm doing good. Busy week of sitting with my headphones on, talking to people while they go and do things and they're not doing them successfully. I have to come back to me and then do things again and then eventually make it all work. Firewalls, bane of my life this week. Mm. Ports and security, bane of my life and getting work done. But there we go. It's other people's stuff. I'm just there to help implement something. And it's been one of those weeks. But otherwise, it's all good. It's only a four-day week for us here because we national holiday on Monday. So only a four-day week. So it's not too bad. So, yes. Yeah. Yeah. Cruising into the weekend.
Nice. Well, enjoy your long weekend. Since Muller isn't here and it's been a while, I think if I do a Boulder Wildlife update, maybe that will help him feel better. So we've had multiple mountain lion sightings just recently, like in the past week, and people are very concerned. And I can see why, because all of those small dogs, those are like snacks. So people are really worried about letting their dogs out unattended any time of day right now. Not many bear sightings.
Hot dogs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Couple slices of bread and you're away.
Yep. They're just bite size. They're like little dog cupcakes. Yeah. Yep. Raccoons, they're still out and about being the little jerks that they are. So that hasn't changed. And we have our deer with the lame back right leg that she just keeps showing up every year. And every year she has twins. So seen her around quite a bit lately as well. And I think that accounts for everything that's happening with Boulder Wildlife right now. Yeah. And if all of you were here, you could be enjoying it with me.
Well, I see a mountain lion, actually. In the grand scheme of things. From a safe distance.
From a safe distance. Yeah, well, sometimes for a safe distance is you're on the porch and they're not.
Okay, that's fine.
I like mountain lions. In a stew.
In a stew.
Yeah, safe distance. On the other side of a telescopic sight, yes.
I have had bear chili before, and it was really good.
I can imagine that. Yeah.
Yeah, it was really good. I would say surprisingly good, but
No surprise.
No. It was just really good. Yeah. All right. Well, now that we've gotten through the wildlife and the different weather situations that we have going on, who has the first story this week? And that would be Patrice.
Yes, that's me. So my story is a bit of EU news, but it might be really interesting to other countries, and let's see how they will handle it. So there is this practice called zero rating, which is basically when your phone carrier does not count certain traffic against your data cap. Like I think in the US, I know T-Mobile is doing it for certain like music streaming and so on.
Right. AT&T does it for some of their properties that they own. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I definitely know like Spotify in the EU and I think the UK, some carriers.
Yeah,
I think three do that with some things. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there's this practice. And the top court in the EU has ruled that this is not legal. Based on a law or a regulation that was put into place in, I want to say, 2015 or 2016, about net neutrality. Because like their argument is that... if carriers do that, that does not give equal access to the customer or for the customers to the internet, because certain things don't count and like they're cheaper for you as a customer. On the other hand, if someone wants access to like you as a customer, they might charge for it and say, well, I mean, like it could be more expensive if you do it this way, but if you like work with us and the customer gets it for free, but then you pay us for that. So I think it's a good thing, but it's definitely a very interesting ruling, like to say the least.
Yeah.
I would agree that it's like a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Watching stuff like this, I find to be very interesting since I've been in the middle just by being in the United States of free and open internet access arguments and battles for quite a while now. And we saw quite a few of the positive things for consumers that were in place rolled back or eliminated under the previous White House, and it's been interesting to watch what other countries are doing to protect users online as consumers.
Yeah,
and I'm curious if we'll be seeing any of that coming back to the United States. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's talk, but. Yeah, but something like this, where you get a benefit that that is simply because of who your phone company or internet provider is, that that becomes a disadvantage for the competition. I do see a problem with that.
Yeah, I mean, for you as a customer, it at first glance looks really nice. I mean, if you are a, let's say, Spotify or Apple Music, I think T-Mobile does Apple Music, customer, then like, that looks really nice. I mean, if you're using it and it's not counting against your data cap, I mean, that's really nice. On the other hand, they could literally just give you a little bit more and then that would be settled. So it's not.
Yeah, no, they do that in the UK, Spotify, and a few others, and Apple. I think here, EE, which is T-Mobile in the UK, or might have been once. I'm not entirely sure. We don't have T-Mobile here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They've done a couple of things. They don't charge for that. And they don't charge for their preferred broadband streaming service. Their streaming service, which is, I think it's for BT Sport as well. They're giving you all kinds of free deals on that, and they don't charge for that either. But interestingly, they give with one hand and take with the other. So previously, while UK was within the EU, and we travelled in Europe, there were no roaming charges because that's standard throughout Europe. I've noticed with my tariff renewing and everything else that all of a sudden now I do have roaming charges again. They're robbing buggers.
Yeah, it's true.
Because I used to have to keep a particular SIM because over here, Three were one of the few networks which would do no roaming charges, always very reduced rates. So I'd keep a spare Three SIM, which was pay as you go. So you'd chuck £20-30 on it for the time you're away on holiday and
I have to see. I think I have my Three SIM still somewhere, and if it still works, I might need it again.
Which is just next really time. Annoying. That's just not. I don't think. I mean, because they're still getting call charges and everything else. It's not like it's free. So why not just continue to offer roaming? So the rate that we pay for the call is standard no matter where I am.
Because they don't have to now. They can make money.
They always did, and it used to be historically awful. But yeah, that's a downside of.
I remember the first time I went to the UK. To London, I think it was like, I want to say €1 per megabyte or something ridiculous.
That I mean, doesn't sound.
Mind you, it was in 2010, I think, so has been a while. But I mean, it's not that far back if you think about it. So
Traveling around the United States, my mobile internet, it doesn't change cost. Mm-hmm. But if I go anywhere else, then I have to buy an expensive add-on package for the privilege of using internet. And then it's metered. And and if you exceed that cap, it is absolutely insane how much money
it's even more ridiculous.
If it's the US, from what I've gathered, everything it'll be obscenely expensive.
I mean, I remember like roaming was included in my T-Mobile plan. Yeah, it was. Like I could go to Germany and still use it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was only, I think it was only 3G speeds.
Yes, I think you're right. Yeah. I have a friend
it's with only T-Mobile 3G speeds.
That complained about
it. And I mean, I paid about $100 for that privilege. I paid $100 anyway, so it wasn't like that. It changed because of traveling, but it was stupid expensive.
Yeah.
I mean, $100 is probably about a year, what I pay here for an entire year.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I think it's included in my plan, international roaming.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't in my renewed one isn't. But I think it's not very, to be fair, the upgrade isn't very expensive. I think it's £1 a day for while I'm away to have it isn't too expensive to have a roaming facility back on my account, and I pay, so it's £20 a month. I get now that they've just upped my limit, 40 gigabytes of data I can't use because I rarely go out now, so I'm Wi-Fi all the time almost. I just don't use the data. I mean, they can give you all these ridiculous things because people don't travel as much at the moment. Yep. It's just not getting used. It's mad, mad.
I pay, what is it, €8 a month for about 12 or 15 gigabytes that I don't need really.
Yeah. I go from one mobile. I go from one mobile net to another mobile. Yeah. I go from one Wi-Fi to another Wi-Fi to another Wi-Fi. You know, when I go to work, if I go from here to work, I've a bit of time while I travel there. But once I'm in the office again, I'm just using the Wi-Fi in the office.
Even when I'm traveling, the trams here have Wi-Fi.
So you're still using the.
I live in a country that can be described from a technological standpoint as stone knives and bearskins. I pay $85 a month for my mobile phone plan, and that does give me unlimited talk and text. But I don't even remember what my data cap is. It's like a gigabyte.
I'm not even sure the last when is the last time that I've used talk or text at all.
I use talk a little bit, but I don't. But that's most of my calls are over the Wi-Fi calling anyway.
Right. Yep. Without having travel as a normal part of my life anymore, most all of my phone calls, and there aren't that many, those happen over Wi-Fi. And of course, I'm not using much of my internet plan because I'm on Wi-Fi. Of course, I also do have the privilege of tethering because that's part of my plan.
Mm-hmm.
It's expensive to have a phone in the United States. And my internet plan here in my apartment is equally expensive. I'm paying, I think it's $90 a month, and I won't even go into what the speeds actually are because I'll probably start crying and you'll be appalled. I'm being told by my service provider what an awesome deal I'm getting for these blazing speeds.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Good times.
And then you have to deal with spam calls.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I'd say at least 95%, and I'm not being hyperbolic here, at least 95% of the phone calls that I get are spam.
Oh, most of mine were. I got the monthly subscription to Hire, and I forgot what my ringtone is now. I've not heard this phone ring for so long because no human's going to call it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Well, this is even with Hire running.
God.
It's crazy. The spam callers have figured out all kinds of amazing ways to work around the problems here. I mean, I do see a lot of spam alerts showing up on my phone. And it doesn't ring nearly as much as it used to, but holy crap.
Yeah, that was for me one of the big things when I moved to the US. I wasn't used to that. Like, it does exist in Germany, but it's so rare that you barely notice it. And then, I got my T-Mobile SIM, and the phone was just ringing nonstop mostly. So why? Mm-hmm.
Yep. And just a few minutes ago, good thing my ringer's off. I looked down and it was ringing and it said telemarketer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was the topic again? Oh, right. Net neutrality. Go EU for supporting net neutrality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we left on the rabbit hole.
Okay. Next story. Ian, you have two.
There, right. I've Which chucked one two in because... Want? I don't know. What do we think, guys? We can either talk about
Zoom
and Zeus Morphia, or we can talk about the second call, which is again links into the one you've just talked about with EU regulations changing digital privacy.
Let's talk about Zoom dysmorphia because we're saying dysmorphia and it makes it sound like we're smart.
Yeah, I mean, Rich knows about this, don't you? Rich? I would have thought because this isn't that one of your topics for your podcast, mate. What do you do with dysmorphia?
Well, no, because it's part of BPD, a lack of sense of self.
Yeah.
A lack of self-identity, that kind of thing. This, I have no idea what this is. I'm a little bit cautious with it because this is a psychological phenomenon observed by a dermatologist. Am I reading that right?
You are. Yeah.
And
the reason the dermatologist noticed it, if you read a bit further down the articles, because they're getting more calls for people wanting nose jobs and getting the wrinkles taken out of their brow because basically they spend all day sat staring at themselves in a little window in the corner of their screens.
Camera lens distortions.
Well, no, it's a combination of, they don't understand A, camera lens distortions, but B, they get chance to see up close and personal what they look like on a daily basis because it's sat there in the corner of the screen staring at them. They've probably never taken that much notice before.
Yeah.
I mean, that was fascinating.
It's probably the same effect, I mean, that we probably have a little bit through the podcast, but also like a lot of actors and actresses and like just in general, like news broadcasters or whatever, like anybody on TV has, because they're in front of a camera all day. They see themselves all day. So at some point, I mean, either you don't like things that might be teeny tiny minor things that you wouldn't care about because you see yourself in the morning like for couple minutes and then that's it. You see it every day and it just gets worse and worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally get it. I mean,
the face is most important.
I'm just kind of used to it now. As I've said to friends, I've seen people complain about this on Facebook, similar things. Like, how do you cope with looking at yourself and hearing yourself all day? To which I can only say, I can admit is that the narcissism helps. That keeps me going a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I look great. So sitting looking at me, I occasionally catch myself and think, yeah, I'm looking good. I'm happy.
Good looking man there.
Yeah. And I imagine it's the same for a lot of people on television or in films or whatever. There's a lot of this about, and you're just used to it or you're very happy with it. But I forget what it's like for more neurotypical people who think more normally.
It's fascinating. I mean, I found it fascinating because, I mean, it's also tweaked my interest because my wife is a big user of the Mumsnet forums that exist in the UK. Mm-hmm. Excellent sort of series of forums that both men and women, to be fair, use. And it's got a great thing. And there was a thread she was reading, and she read it out to me because she was saying, is this a thing? Because was people saying, well, what outfits do I need now for Zoom calls?
Yeah.
Clean t-shirt. I mean, that went completely across the top of my head.
It doesn't even need to be clean. You just need a clean to make t-shirt, sure that the stains are all below the camera.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, as far as I'm concerned, if I'm clothed, it's fine. Yeah, if I'm clothed, it's fine. Always, to be fair, you can always do the newsreader thing. You know, that's it. I mean, or don't turn your camera on.
I'm surprised they haven't put a clean shirt filter thing on. That you can
well, let's
on.
Give it
or one that there. Blurs out the sweariness on my t-shirts.
That would be great. Yeah.
So I mean,
filter.
That depends a little bit on the type of person you are and your gender and also the profession you're in. Like in IT, what's the let's say standard at least male IT outfit? T-shirt,
if you
sneakers or flip-flops, like relatively casual.
In the UK, if you work in a professional environment, smart casual is the order of the day. So a shirt and you can get away with jeans or chinos or something like that. Yeah. So you look vaguely respectable if you go to a customer's office full of people in suits.
Yeah.
When we're in the office alone, jeans and a t-shirt is the order of the day.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so jeans and a t-shirt and as a sneakers or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of the outfit. If you're working in like a banking industry, for example, even in IT, that might be different. If you're working in a bank or an insurance company or something, that's definitely usually.
Well, you have to wear the corporate outfit.
Yeah. So.
Oh, that's easier.
Or
then.
Like if you're, I mean, as I said, if you're like a newscaster or something, it's probably going to be different. So it depends on the industry. And then, as I think there's a gender difference. Like, women are judged more. So, it's more important that you look nice.
Yeah, and you're looking very summery this evening, I must admit.
Yeah. But as I said, like that is important, and that obviously also becomes important, especially when you're on camera in front of like random people.
Yeah.
So I can understand that, and I mean, not everybody can deal with it. Like, I mean, the same thing, like, why so many celebrities get, like, all kinds of, like, surgery at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I suppose it's
like,
the same
over
thing.
Over time, things get worse. Like, your perception, I mean, it's mostly your perception, but it just adds up.
While all of you were carrying on an intelligent conversation, I was on Google looking for Zoom filters to make you look better, Zoom filters to make it look like you're wearing clothes. And I found on Babylon Bee, they did a report earlier this year about a new Zoom filter that makes it look like you're dressed. So you can be naked.
Hey,
while you're
we
doing
need.
Your,
that's it. Yeah, to make it look like my shirt. Yeah, okay. I love that.
So it's like The Onion. And, so first it was great to find this because the timing was great, but also because then I found several other news sites that were reporting this as if it was real and legit and citing Babylon Bee as their source.
Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, that's lovely. Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
It's like, over here, there's, I think he's disappeared now. There was a site, Richard, I don't know if you ever looked at the South End News Network.
Oh, I remember the South End News Network. Yeah.
Fantastic mocking of all kinds of stuff. And at least three or four of his headlines and his funny stuff, I think he disappeared and he stopped doing it, the guy who ran it, was picked up by national newspapers and reported as gospel truth rather than as nonsense, rather than as just,
oh
it's satire,
awesome.
It's comedy, it's satire. It's like, I mean, it's the equivalent of, I mean, internationally known, Private Eye. Politics satire magazine been published for 30, 40 years, being reported as something, some funny story they'd written, and they've been reported as truth by the Times. But this is by tabloid. This is tabloid newspapers where the only fact checking they do, can they find it on Twitter? So, you know, it's, I mean, really, it's kind of thing. So they, something they were, because I mean, that is, I mean, most of our UK tabloids, I really will, if it says it's raining outside, I'm going to have to go out and check, you know, it's that sort of thing, you know. If they reported water wet, I would be skeptical, I must admit, you know, it's so, but it was really funny to see them. And then the guy, I mean, I think one was caught by the Daily Mail reported one of them, which one particular poor quality UK tabloid. And I think he contacted him and said, you know, that's a joke. And there was much scurrying as they brought the article and everything.
That's really funny.
What are those very facts funny you keep talking about? Like,
I mean, yeah, that's supposed a good story.
All right.
I know,
so
it's from Zoom,
so
dysmorphia,
what we've
established, but yeah,
is people have been staring at themselves for so long on web meetings since the pandemic started that they're realizing, or at least feeling like they don't look as good as they thought they did. And that we genuinely need a Zoom filter that makes it look like we're dressed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, from this, it was saying it's a follow-on from the Snapchat dysmorphia as well, where people, which led to a rise in people Botoxing themselves to get themselves looking perfect. And then also the apparently 70% uptick in people going and consulting plastic surgeons for various bits to tidy them up, which will be mostly girls, I must admit. I probably imagine in the general scheme of things.
By the way,
that's incredible.
But if anybody has a problem with that, in Zoom, there is a feature where you can disable your own video. You will not see it. So if that's a problem,
that's the best answer. And same with all of them have got an option.
That's it. I can totally understand it. Like it's for me totally relatable. But if that's really a problem and it's causing you issues, I mean, either turn off the camera if you can, or like just I would prefer like. Personally, I like video because that communicates so much, but you can just turn off your own video.
Yeah, that's what I said. Oh, you can touch up my appearance.
Yeah, it's just like the three dots next to your video, and then you say hi selfie, and it's gone. I don't even know how to get it back now.
I'd self view, yeah. No, that's cool.
Also,
I was interested just to see.
If you hate the way you look on Zoom, before you get plastic surgery, stop using that shitty webcam in your laptop.
Yes.
Right.
And right. The view up your nose isn't the best. Yeah, so stop looking at the view up your nose, because then you've got the one with the webcam sat there going that way.
And, if you don't like the saggy chin, maybe the gym. I don't know. Yeah, get a light. So many things before surgery.
Mm-hmm. I literally so many know things. Someone in the company, like I always see, like basically from this one. This, like,
yeah.
There's always somebody like that.
Classic.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Rich, what do you have for a story?
You surprised me. Hang on.
Oh, surprise. Well, while you're trying to find it, my dip into dysphoria was getting studio lights so that I didn't look like I was just a light bulb myself, because I was reflecting so much light, or I would have to rely on sunlight, and then it'd be like, this half of my face is glowing and reflecting, and this half of my face is dark. And
mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
So is he adjusting his light now to give himself a bit more light in the background? Oh, that's worse. Yeah.
Never mind. I think your story is probably more of a warning than a discussion.
This is. I feel like I'm on phase two of my Windows 11 experience. My phase one, we've discussed where I'm running the beta here. I'm distressed. I'm upset. I'm disgusted. I'm confused. And now this is the middle bit. This is the warning. Like, Windows 11 is officially released on October 5th, when the rest of you can feel my pain. Clicking on things going, but why? And all these other things. Will it run on your machine? We don't know yet. What is it compatible with? Nobody knows. Will all of its features that it claims to come with actually be there on launch day? Probably not. But who cares? They're doing it anyway, damn it. That it's happening. And that's it. It's been decided.
I've just clicked through for the system requirements. At least a gigahertz of processor.
Well, that right.
With four gigabytes of RAM. That's gone up. It used to be 512, they used to say on these things, because it was complete cobbers and no one looked at them. But I thought I'd have a look.
The biggest problem, as I understand it, is the processor compatibility list. They've started out saying it's basically compatible with processors that came out this week. And they've eked it out slightly longer as the beta process has gone on. And now, as we're approaching the release date, they've started up again with maybe some of the ones that have been in the beta won't run either. You're like, but it runs on it.
It's been running.
Because I'm running it. And so if I'm on a machine now that has been given the Windows 11 upgrade, but is still on one of the older processors you've decided can't run it, what's going to happen when the new version comes out? Are you going to leave me on a beta of a thing you say I can't run, or are you going to blank my machine and put Windows 10 back on it? What's going to happen, Microsoft? We don't know. No, I don't know that working. They know. That is what I think is the most likely thing.
You're gonna update it, and then it's gonna start up and say, "Well, this machine is not supported," and that's the end of it.
Yeah. Now piss off. That's pretty much what I feel like is gonna happen. Yeah. So. They've on this blog page, they've got a list of lovely brand new computers that you can get that will run Windows 11, which is great.
Windows 11.
Yeah, but do I'm we just, know the really?
The health check apps. I'm about to run the PC health check app on my desktop, which has got more than plenty enough RAM. Coming soon, oh, for God's sake.
It's coming for you all. It's coming for you all.
This desktop's got plenty of RAM in it and everything. It's 16 gig of RAM in it. It's got a decent Ryzen processor. There's more than enough in my Windows desktop to do that.
I mean, I don't know if it's going to officially run on this machine. And this processor sort of is two generations old. It's not old. It's not much. You know, We've only just reached the point where it's even worth me considering upgrading the processor because there's a noticeable change in the speed with the latest model. It's really not that old, and yet Microsoft are leaving me on the, will it run? Mm-hmm.
Well, you can always upgrade to a Mac. I mean, that's the answer.
That's my plan. That's my plan. Yeah. just need some cryptocurrency to go the way I need it to go, and I'll be back on the Mac.
You know, I considered Windows, like installing a Windows in a virtual machine for like 5 seconds the other day.
Do you know, Tess, I wanted good.
To run Age of Empires.
There you go. It's for that, because what else are you going to do to run Age of Empires?
Exactly. And that's, then I thought about it. I'm like, no.
No.
I'm not dealing with Windows.
I only sort of ended up on PC by accident. I kind of got a new computer every sort of 3 or 4 years-ish. And I sort of mm-hmm. spent one of those upgrade cycles on a gaming PC, thinking mm-hmm. I'll eke out this Mac a bit longer. And no, I've just ended up here. So now I need to get back, because I can't live like this anymore.
Yeah.
There's all manner of things they've taken out of it as well.
Yeah, it's, you know.
So, I mean, you look at the feature removal and depreciation list.
I mean,
it's quite interesting. Cortana will no longer be in the first boot experience.
Well, that's
snipping. Snipping tool is gone, and it's going to be replaced with the new sketch and snip thing. Starts changed, and there's various things. Lifetimes have gone away, which is one feature I actually do quite like. Is lifetimes. Tablet mode is removed. Well, good riddance. Taskbar's changed. Some icons won't appear. And then things like I use OneNote for Windows 10 quite a bit with my Office 365. That's going. And it was a new one coming out, but
that'll be really annoying. Omni shambles.
That one's kind of significant, because that's the thing I use quite a bit. And the full package I don't like. I much prefer the Windows 10 one. It is a smoother experience in for my own use.
I have no idea which one I'm using or where I got it from.
If you've got the stupid bar along the top, and then that's the Office one. If it's got the bar with the buttons down the side, that's the Windows one. That's how I figured it out.
I think I've got the Office one.
It's ridiculous. Okay. You have a different interface depending on where you're using the app.
Or yes. Where you downloaded it from.
Yes.
And, wow. Yeah.
Okay. The full package from Microsoft has the tabs along the top for each of your pages where you put your content in. I mean, I'm at the moment trying to figure out ways of getting my content out of OneNote and into something else. I'm trying to find something the least prescriptive. I mean, I think Notion might be the answer, but I'm not sure yet entirely. And then when I look at, and then there's the Windows 10 version, which has got the buttons down the side, which is a much nicer interface to work with. But you can't export anything out of it. And you've got to use the full one to export. And, oh, God.
Yeah,
because now I'm on Mac, I need something else. I'm trying to find an alternative tool. I mean, a Bear works for me brilliantly on a lot of the note-taking stuff I do these days. Combination of Bear or Notepad. I'll talk about Notepad later. Notepad's really very good. But there's just so many.
Sounds crazy.
Things I'm yet another far reason too many,
not to install Windows in a VM.
Yeah, no, I use Windows for work now. My own PC will remain a Mac, I think, for foreseeable future.
Yeah.
You know, I run Windows in a virtual machine so that I have it when I need to test something.
Mm.
And it's crazy. Every single time I go to use it, it is in my way. Windows is in my way. And it's really frustrating. It's like, okay, I just want to look at this one document in Windows, or this one web page on Windows. Nope. We have to do these other updates first, and we're not going to let you do anything else. Yeah. And it's always something. And it drives me crazy.
Sometimes you have to reboot 4 times. Like, it installs some updates, and then go back and install some more.
Yeah. It doesn't do that now. They stopped that about 3 versions ago.
Okay.
They stopped that about 3 versions ago. That doesn't happen now. It's one reboot for all the updates. They realized everybody was getting driven mad by that. Windows 7 was a bugger for that. Windows 7 would do that, and then it come back up.
It was definitely in 10. Like, really I had, until about a year ago, I had a Windows 10 machine for reporting purposes, because we had some really fancy Excel sheets that only worked on Windows.
Yeah.
And yeah, every time, like I had once every 2 weeks, I had to boot up the machine, and every time there was at least 2 reboots to install some updates.
Okay.
And that was a Windows 10 for sure. Mm. Definitely.
I mean, on the converse of this, the desktop operating system is an omni-shambles. It is a complete waste of space. The server operating system is great. I use 2016 and 2019 as the server platform. And in there, if I put my finger across there, I've got 3 Dell PowerEdge servers that tick away doing various stuff for my labbing stuff. Hyper-V works brilliantly. All of the kind of stuff I do on a server level, Windows is great. But on a desktop level, oh God, my cool thing is something I've got that will help make some of the Windows annoyances slightly better.
It's Bourbon, yeah, isn't
what
it?
What is that command? Is that like format the disk install Linux?
Yeah, format /\ or /F.
Okay, good. Good to know.
Yeah.
It's like RM. It's like /RM/ whatever it is, the equivalent, the Unix one.
Yeah. Doesn't work anymore.
Can you not do
that? No, they took it out years ago. Like they blocked that. You can't do that. You can still shoot yourself in the foot, but not as much anymore.
Not as badly.
Yeah, you can shoot yourself in the foot. You can't shoot your foot off.
Mm. What's Rocky like then? Because that's the one people keep going on about just lately. Which is like CentOS's new cousin, works. Isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, works pretty well. I mean, I haven't tried too much, but. Looks nice.
No, I might have to give it a go. I might have to give it a go, actually, on some stuff. Mm. Throw it onto one of my machines, see what it looks like.
All right. I have to point out Microsoft missed a huge marketing opportunity with Windows 11. Why are they releasing it on the 5th instead of the 11th?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a fairly good point. 11-11.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
11-11
would be better if they were going to go for marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been a Monday, which is nice.
Yeah, and yet they went with October 5th.
But Win 10 will still be supported to 2025.
Well, Microsoft has to continue supporting their old operating systems, regardless of how much they may like to leave them behind. Because they've created an ecosystem where people don't upgrade or they can't upgrade. And it's like entire, entire enterprises. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if it's just consumer users, it's a lot easier to say, too bad. Upgrade or you're just left behind. But when you're dealing with enterprise customers, you really can't get away with that.
Well, enterprise customers won't install it. It flatly won't happen. They'll block it. They'll just say, no, we'll just keep refreshing our Windows 10 with the latest updates. That ain't going anywhere near our network.
But I mean, that's the smart part that Microsoft is doing now. I mean, they're limiting the support for Windows 10. And I mean, I'm 100% convinced that like past 2025, there will be a support. It's just going to be paid.
Yeah, like it is for Windows 7.
Yeah, exactly.
You still want Windows 7
now. You can get it longer, but then you pay for it.
Yeah, got to pay. You got to pay the piper, yeah. People do.
Yeah,
people still do.
Well, if your mission critical software and hardware can't run on a newer operating system, then you pay the price to have Microsoft keep your old operating system updated.
I think some people are still paying for Windows XP support. So, well,
yes, I've heard that.
There are devices that have like XP built into them, hospital equipment.
Yeah,
and the company that made the equipment is out of business, but we're talking about devices that cost hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
And the hospitals can't replace them.
Yeah,
so MRI scanners, particularly. They have to keep using the old devices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Windows XP is relatively modern in that area.
You will see
DOS.
Yes. As you and I have both talked about before on here about how the railway industry I used to work in, he still does, a lot of the key tools for laying tracks is all run on Windows 3.1.1 and DOS. The machine's a precision measure exactly where the rails are going to get dropped on this road. It runs on a, doesn't need anything more than that.
Yeah. It takes, I mean, on the other hand, they're usually not connected to anything else.
No, they're not connected to anything. No. And I'm surprised no one now hasn't taken the software and converted it over to a flavor of Linux or something like that that will run nicely on that kind of hardware and just go, there you go. It's a contained appliance thing now. Yeah, I'm sure.
Like if they would invest money in it, they would just upgrade the software to, or the hardware even, to something new.
Yeah.
It's not worth it.
Yeah.
True.
All right. My story takes us up into orbit to the International Space Station. So Russia is warning that the International Space Station is getting perilously close to a state where at least some components have to be replaced because it can't be repaired because they've gone to end of life expectancy or beyond, and they say that any of these components, once they really hit their end of life, that they could start seeing critical system failures on the space station within 24 hours of this happening. Now, in many cases, this is, you have to replace computer equipment and or replace software. So that's reasonably manageable. But they're also now detecting microfractures in the holes on the various components the pieces that people live in, the sections. Wow. That's like the thing you cook water in.
Yeah, exactly.
and they're saying that metal fatigue from the exposure to the space environment means that the space station may not be habitable after 2030.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of makes sense if you think about like the conditions that the space station has to endure. I mean, it's not just all the radiation it has to deal with and all the like small meteorites and whatever. The temperatures, between the station being in the sun and being in the shadow of the Earth, there is like a massive temperature differential. Like it heats up in the sun and then it cools down in space. Space is cold. So
space is cold. Yep. Yeah.
So it can't be good for the metal.
No. And now granted, the space station was designed for a 15-year lifespan. And we have exceeded that because it was launched in 1998 and it's now 2021. But you could extend the life by replacing modules. And we saw last month there was a new Russian module that went up. But where it sits, it's not something that's actually replacing a core module. It was a new addition, and they actually tossed a Soyuz spacecraft into the atmosphere and let it burn up to make room for the Noyu? I can't remember the name of it. It starts with an N. But anyhow, yeah, apparently the space station is sorely in need of some TLC.
Yeah, I mean, they even had a Nauka, it says in here, Nauka or something like that. They even had a malfunction where it misfired and basically flipped the space station, which definitely also wasn't good for all the parts, like the stress that they put on everything.
Yeah, that was the new module. Like a few hours after it was docked and sealed, it fired its maneuvering thrusters.
Yeah. So, I mean, we knew this was coming. I mean, they extended the mission for 10 years. Like, I think it was supposed to end in 2015. They extended it for 10 years, but I mean, it's clear without just replacing everything. It's not, I mean, which is probably not I mean, I don't know if it's even possible, but it's definitely not easy.
Can they just do a new one?
I would suggest that's probably what's going to happen, but I'm not sure when, because I don't see any plan or any talk about plans for that.
Yeah, what that would already have to do on it in the works.
Do they general science stuff on it? I assume.
Yeah, it's just study, isn't it? That's what they've been doing for years.
Yeah, I mean, there are some commercial things that happen now. Like NASA opened that up, and you can, like, I don't know how much it costs. I think it was $10,000 per kilogram or something. But you can send up certain things, experiments or whatever, and like have them done up there. Whatever you want to do.
I nearly asked, can I go up? But I don't want to go up. It's breaking.
The answer is
it's going to fall back to the earth. It'll soon be here.
Yeah.
Yes, you can.
Yeah,
it'll soon be here. Don't worry.
There actually is tourist business happening on the ISS. So you pay a lot of money. You fly to Russia. They pop you into Soyuz capsule and shoot you up with one of the astronaut rotations. Mm-hmm. And then you hang out there for however long.
Yeah, a couple of days usually, I think.
Yeah. And then, because then there's a return crew going back. So you go back with the return crew.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's stupid expensive. I mean, for a good reason.
Oh, I can imagine. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've been, this thing's 20 odd years old. You can't imagine in the conditions in which it's kept, mm-hmm. out there in the vastness of space and all that kind of thing, as you say, with everything else and the stresses upon it. It's no wonder it's starting to fall apart. Do you realize it needed this sort of thing would need regular maintenance in a way of constantly renewing and updating the technology that it sits on? Has it just been kind of left there and just sort of like cobbled things more on the edges of it as it goes along kind of thing?
No, it has been under almost constant maintenance like since it started.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's not the thing, but it's not as easy. I mean, it's not like you going outside to your car and, I don't know, putting a new coat of paint on it or something. I don't know.
It's not as easy there. I suppose it's one of the most harshest conditions you can possibly put a piece of working equipment into, isn't it, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's kind of like a submarine. And like, imagine you're in a submarine somewhere at, like, in the middle of the ocean, and now you go outside and repair it and replace things and so on. That's
You're a mile underwater.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's kind of hard.
Yeah.
I mean... Yeah,
it's incredible, isn't it?
And you have to live in that. Like you have to be very careful, because if you break it, then you're basically dead. Or like,
mm-hmm. I mean, or you're all in the Soyuz back home again. Yeah,
exactly. But that's the end of it. Like if you do that, you can do that exactly once. And you're done.
Right. Yeah. If they have to evacuate everyone from the space station, no one's ever going back.
Mm. I mean, they could come back and fix it, but
they won't. Going to
be expensive and take a while. Not for the space station, though.
No.
Don't think so. Yeah, but I mean, as I said, I know China is planning their own station.
They already have the first module up in orbit.
But other than that, as I said, I'm guessing someone somewhere is probably thinking about it, because they're smart people. They know this is coming. But I have not heard anything, like not a budget request or anything for it.
Yeah, same. I haven't heard anything. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a surprise. As I said, I mean, maybe the plan is to just like pop off the newer modules and like put in a new.
Yeah, we could fly up another part, couldn't they? Unplug one and plug a new one in, kind of thing, and they just keep.
Mm. Well, Russia is still talking about the possibility of pulling out literally from the space station in 2025. Mm-hmm. And if they do that, then they undock their modules and do with them as they please, which could be stick them together and start making their own space station, or put them on a trajectory to burn up in the atmosphere.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, that's also a little bit of a political thing.
Of course.
Yeah.
Mm. So, maybe some of it will end up as a lawn ornament in Jeff Bezos's garden.
Always a possibility.
He can put them next to his Apollo 11 solid rocket boosters and feel very pleased about himself.
Yeah, possible.
Yeah,
he'll probably keep it in the secret lair he has under a mountain. I'm convinced he's got one.
I'd so have one if I had Jeff Bezos money. That would be the first thing I bought, would be a lair under a mountain.
Yeah, it would Hopefully, a volcano. Yeah, for perfect. Yeah. No, for the perfect, literally for the perfect thing.
You can go out and buy like old like Soviet era bunkers.
Suppose he hasn't.
Maybe yeah, has it, and some of the missile silos, unused missile silos in the United States.
Oh, people living in those, aren't they?
Homes, or at least a couple of them are Airbnb places now.
Yeah. I've seen some that preppers are using. There was an article at some point just in the beginning of the COVID pandemic, or partway through it, there were various ones that locked themselves down in their little bunkers somewhere in the middle of nowhere, desert America sort of thing, but they were safe. You know, that was all with disused army bases, missile silos, all that kind of thing being used as the structure.
Yeah, well, there we go. Out there.
Found one. North Star missile silo available. $102 million?
$1 million.
No, that was what it was originally built for.
Oh, okay.
Oh, this looks nice.
See, you can get some cool stuff out there.
Rich is just going to buy one.
Protected by 2 7,000-pound steel blast doors. This is the kind of...
That sounds great, that. Huh?
Unfortunately, takeaway menus you have still in a get
place
in.
Like that?
Yeah, can Just Eat still visit?
Yeah, they still get in. Oh, this actually looks really nice. I'm going to put a link in the chat room.
Yeah, do I need to see this?
Awesome.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Hey, this show and all the others on British Tech Network is sponsored by TSO Hosts. So thank you, TSO Hosts, for being here for us. We literally would not be here without their support, because they give us the bandwidth so we can live stream shows like this every single week. They give us the storage space so that we can take the recordings of these shows and have them hosted so that you can watch or listen at your leisure as well. And saying we literally would not be here without them is absolutely true, because there's just no way that on our own we'd be able to handle the streaming and storage costs that go along with making the shows happen. So thank you to TSO Hosts for that. And what they would love from us is for you to take to social media and give them a shout out, give them a thank you for being here and sponsoring and supporting the British Tech Network. That's what they need. Well, to be fair, we all need some love. So this is how you can give TSO Hosts the love that they need. And if you need hosting or if you need to buy domains, they've got you there to use the discount code BTN20 to get a discount on what you need. But take to social media, let them know, that you appreciate that they're here for us, because that's what they need to see to know that they're really bringing us some value. So please go do that. We are also sponsored by iMen Max, and that's the place to go if you have any Apple gear that needs to be fixed. And what I love about them is that, well, first, they're cool people, but also they will go in and figure out what's actually wrong with your Apple device and fix that part. So if you have a component on a logic board that has failed, that can be replaced, then, I mean, they will even desolder and solder the new piece in if that's what it takes. And that's great, because that's less waste going into landfills, and you're getting your device back, not the shell of your device with the new logic board in it. And that's absolutely awesome. They also sell gear and lease gear. So if you're in the market for some Apple kit, then hit them up and let them know that you're a BTN fan, and they'll give you a discount as well. All right, so we also need to talk about the Daily Tech News Show, because we are basically out of money for that show. So what that means is we need money to keep that happening. And without a cash infusion, the Daily News Show is not going to live past September. And I'm not saying that to be like scary, freaky, you have to do this or something dies sort of thing. It's just the truth. Without the money, the show doesn't happen. So we need some money to make the Daily News Show continue to be a thing. And it's an awesome show. And there's like 6,000 people every day that are tuning into their show.
We need from them is a dollar each. That pays Jet. That pays for Kyle.
Yes. Yeah. And that, yeah, all it would take is a dollar per listener to keep that show running. And that's what we need. So if you are a fan and you have been paying for the show, thank you. You rock. Yes, if you're a fan and you haven't been paying, hey, this is your opportunity to show some support. And if you know people that would be interested in the show but just don't know about it, tell them, and then tell them to throw a little cash at the show as well, and we'll be able to keep the show running. It's been running for 13 years, and it would just be so sad for it to end at the end of September. So, money needs to happen. Let's find ways to get some money back into this show so that we can keep it running. And if you go to the British Tech Network website, there's a place to make those donations happen. So hop to it, get your friends to hop to it, and let's keep that Daily News Show happening. All right. So, Patrice, where can people find the live chat that we have going on during the show?
They can head over to, like, if they're listening live right now, or like every Thursday on the Big Show, every Friday on the Mac Show, they can just go over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com and log, like, it will show you our chat and you can talk to us. If they're listening after the fact, which you're definitely missing a lot because we talk a lot about stuff before the show, like our kettles and so on, they can go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. So same thing, just slightly different. And navigate to the 2nd of September 2021. And there you'll find all the links and everything we've talked about.
Awesome. Thank you for having me back on that, Patrice. And this is part of our symbiotic relationship. you make sure that's covered. And actually, is it symbiotic? Because I think I'm the one that's winning in this. I hope it's not parasitic. It's time for the cool thing. Patrice, do you have something awesome today?
I do. I was thinking, like, I've been watching all kinds of different TV shows recently. And I was thinking, like, which one should I pick today? And, like, I picked Lower Decks because there's a new season and it's awesome. Star Trek Lower Decks. It's like an animated Star Trek, so not like the usual live action, I think, stuff. But there are a lot of cameos in there. Like, there was William Frakes as Riker was there recently. Mm-hmm. And a lot of other, like, people will drop in for like an episode or two with their characters.
John DeLancey animated. Showed up John, at one point, yes. As Q.
Exactly. So they're all in. And as I said, if you haven't seen Lower Decks, it's the premise is basically like what happens in the Lower Decks or in the second rate in quote ships, like the ship that comes in after the Enterprise has done the first contact with a new species. Like, they move on, they go somewhere else. Someone has to pick up the slacks and or the reins and like continue the conversation with the new species and figure out all the details and so on. And that's what the ship that the crew is on, that's what they're doing. Like, it's not the most glamorous things. It's usually a little bit messy, but it's just super entertaining. It's I would say it's vaguely a comedy, like a sci-fi comedy.
It's not done as a straight up comedy, but there's a lot of humor in it.
Yes.
And they're not afraid to poke fun at the entire Star Trek franchise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And they have, I mean, if you pay attention to it, they have so many little details here and there hidden in the episode. Like that the true Star Trek, like they're not important. They're not like the center of everything, but they're little things that like if you know Star Trek, you notice them. I mean, sometimes mm-hmm. they might even in the story refer to things like the transporter accident that Riker had, stuff like that. But sometimes it's only like, I don't know, there's something on a shelf somewhere, or like there's a shuttle, like a broken shuttle that has a certain name or stuff like that, like little things in the background that you can notice if you know, but they're not like super important.
It's a wonderful show.
It is. And there was a new episode today, so that's why.
Yes, I'm looking forward to watching it probably later today. Yeah.
That's okay. A great show.
It is. Absolutely love it. Rich, what do you have?
I have my new mouse, which I got. I've been upgrading my peripherals recently because actually by necessity, because my keyboard just stopped working the other night. Suddenly only 6 keys on the damn thing had worked. So I kind of needed a new keyboard pretty quick because they're fairly essential. So I noticed that I'd had an alert from an Amazon watching app earlier that the Logitech MX Keys keyboard had dropped down in price. So I went and got this. I'm kind of a fan of this because it feels like a proper Apple keyboard, like I was used to mm-hmm. with short travel keys that are easy to type on rather than big clunky mechanical keys playing games. And then noticed that this little chap was also on offer and ended up with one of these, and I'm quite liking it so far. It's got so many buttons on, which I love, and it's wireless. So I'm now down to just my headphone wire on my desk, which is life-changing for me. And so far, it's pretty good. I like all the buttons and the horizontal scroll wheel. I like that I can customize it to work differently in different apps. and also the fact that it will connect, both things will connect to 3 different Bluetooth devices. So I can be typing away on the computer, switch it over to work the type of WhatsApp message on my phone. I'll never, ever do that. But I could if I wanted to.
The point is you can.
Yeah. That's it. So I'm quite pleased with it. I'll recommend it for now. What did I call it again? I've already lost the page on Amazon. Now it's gone. It's a Logitech mouse.
Awesome.
Sorry, that's terrible. I meant to put a link in the chat room and everything. I will get this.
All right, move past so me. It'll anyway. Eventually show up in the chat.
Yeah.
And so if you want the link, well, then you have to follow Patrice's advice and you can go and see the saved chat later on.
There we go.
Ian, what do you have?
What do I have? This is a Windows thing for a change, and it's the PowerToy suite. The PowerToy suite keeps getting updated. PowerToys were created a bazillion years ago by a couple of guys, Mark Rusinovich and, can't think of the other guy's name now. They wrote these things independently of Microsoft, a load of hacks to get around various annoyances they found in Windows 95. Microsoft got suddenly quite impressed with these guys, these two programmers, and they brought them into Microsoft. And these tools have been evolving over years. They disappeared and they came back. And this is the current iteration. They're available on GitHub. You can download them directly from Microsoft. And this is the current set. And they're really quite good. There's a load of little nice tools in there to do things that Windows should do automatically, but doesn't. Like if you've ever used on the Mac things like, there's a tool called Awake now. So if you ever did a thing like you can do on a Mac machine where you have one of those tools like Caffeine or whatever to keep the computer from going to sleep, mm-hmm. it's got one of them in there. There's a color picker so you can pick the color out of the screen. Fancy Zones I've never quite got to work, but it's a bit like that app you were speaking about a couple of weeks ago. I just downloaded it too to have a go of it, the Stay app to get your Windows to stay in the places you want them. Mm-hmm. That's another one. There's a few more add-ons for Explorer. An image resizer from a quick right click. There's a keyboard manager. You can faff around with that. There's a renaming tool. And there's also a little run tool, much like on the Mac where you're used to doing the command and space to bring up Spotlight. You can have an equivalent with Alt and Space on Windows called PowerTool Run. That works quite nicely. They're all really quite good. So if you need a few extra bits and pieces, and they're updated fairly regularly now, whack them on. That's my recommendation.
That's cool. And I'm shocked this isn't just part of the Windows install.
No, no, it's been a thing for a bazillion years.
Awesome.
A bazillion years. They came. The first PowerToys came out in the Windows 95, and it's been around since then in one form or another.
All right. Okay. My cool thing is a coffee mug, and it. Well, actually, I'll show you. Here we go. This is.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah. There we go.
Oh, I've got that.
Getting reflection.
Oh no. Yes, I've got that one. My daughter bought it for me.
Okay, so it's an awesome little.
It's mug, excellent.
But why would I randomly pick a $10, $11 mug? It's not actually random. This is the coffee mug that Dr. Strange is holding when he talks to Peter Parker in the new Spider-Man movie trailer. There's a scene where they're at Dr. Strange's Sanctum Sanctorum, and it looks like it's a winter scene inside the office. Dr. Strange has like a blanket wrapped around him, and he's walking around with a mug in his hand, and it's this mug. So people are like going crazy trying to find the mug and order it. And it turns out it's on Amazon, $10.95.
Yeah, it's been around. It's been around since before that, because like I say, I got given it a couple of Christmases ago, because they saw it and they know my child.
$5 or $6.
Yeah, it was a Christmas present for me a few years ago.
Yeah,
because my daughter saw it and thought of me.
That's nice, awesome. Yeah, they raised the price on it after the Spider-Man trailer came out, because all of a sudden people wanted the mug. So.
I've got a companion mug to that. This is the periodic table of swearing mug.
Oh, that's awesome. That mug as well.
That my again, also my 15-year-old daughter, I introduced to compound swearing, saw this and goes, Ian needs that. And so that was another Christmas or birthday present for me. So I have a couple of cool mugs.
That is absolutely awesome.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Periodic table of swearing, if anyone's looking for it. Some of the ones I don't agree with the ratings, but there we are.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of swearing is subjective. Yeah. Okay. Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, every week here on The Big Show every Thursday and on The Mac Show every Friday. You can find all the projects and social media links and whatnot on thepatrice.com. And my podcast is The Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com, where I talk to very interesting people about food and just everything that goes with that.
Awesome. Okay, Rich, where can people find you?
You can find me on the YouTube channel Early Morning Barking, or at earlymorningbarking.com, or at Barking on Twitter.
Awesome. Okay, Ian, and where are you?
I'm here on The Big Show every week, generally. And you find me on LinkedIn, Ian Grant. Look for me there. That's about the usual places. I don't do too much social media these days.
Okay. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram, Jay Gamut, both places. On YouTube at youtube.com/JGamut. And here on Thursdays on The Big Show, Friday mornings on The Mac Show, Tuesday evenings, most Tuesday evenings on Mac Voices Live. And this week I'll be recording In Touch with iOS. And Patrice, you're on too.
I am indeed.
So we're recording that with Dave Ginsburg tomorrow. So that'll be a lot of fun. And I feel like I'm forgetting something. I need to finish editing a new video. So that will go up on my YouTube channel today. And I have a backlog because there's been a lot of life that got in the way of recording. So I have quite a few videos that are in the works right now. So those will all be out soon too. And we have made it to the end of the show. And all three of you have been absolutely spectacularly awesome. And I expect nothing less. Patrice, where can people find you?
you already asked me that.
Oh, right. Oh, there's no tea left in the mug.
That explains it.
Right. So this is like the Groundhog Day episode. All right. So, all right. What I meant to say, but apparently my brain just went into a loop because my oh for fuck's sake mug is empty. Patrice, it has been absolutely awesome having you here today. Rich, you totally rock. It's so great that you were here. Ian, it's always a treat to get to hang out with you. So all three of you are absolutely awesome. And thank you for being here and making this just an absolutely awesome way to spend my Thursday. To all of you that that are with us live, thanks for being here. Every one of you is awesome and you rock. For all of you that are watching or listening to the recordings later, thanks for being part of this. We love you too. And don't forget to give TSO Host some love on Twitter, and thank you to them for being our sponsor. Thank you to IMED Max for sponsoring us. Don't forget that we really need to get some money coming in for the daily news show so that Kyle can keep that happening for us beyond the end of this month. So let's make that happen, which will make Ewan incredibly happy. And a happy Ewan means a happy British Tech Network. So thank you to everyone for being here. And we'll see you again tomorrow for the Mac Show.